Welcome into Time Out with Taylor Rooks, now on the SNY.TV audio network. Happy to be here and happy to have you listening, as always. So it's NBA playoff time. Can't believe how quickly it came, but watching these guys honestly gives me serious withdrawals from college basketball. If you know me, you know I love, love, love college hoops. So my guest today is North Carolina championship winning point guard Joel Berry. Came at the perfect time. And Joel is really like the heart and soul of this Carolina team. You know, people kept saying, if you're going to interview a Tar Heel, interview Theo Pinson or Joel Berry, because those guys have so much personality and humor and blah, blah, blah. And they were definitely right. I mean, Joel was amazing. And he's really an interesting case because his rise in Chapel Hill has been something out of a storybook, really. There's been moments of doubt, moments of failure, moments of victory, and of course, a huge, huge moment of redemption. And in this podcast, he talks about wins and he talks about losses. I ask him about that very popular haircut and why it is so hard to make free throws. Seriously, it kills me when people miss free throws. But he gives me some reasons. He talks his friendship with Odell Beckham Jr. And how meditation has really helped him grow. So be sure to subscribe to Time Out with Taylor Rooks on iTunes and SoundCloud by searching Time Out with Taylor Rooks. But for now, here's Joel Berry. All right, Joel Berry. First off, congratulations.
Thank you.
How does it feel to be a champ?
It still hasn't hit me yet, but it feels pretty good.
Yeah. Like, how many text messages did you have when you got off the court?
So, I don't remember how many I had, but I know it took me until this week just to finish replying back to everybody.
Really?
So, yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I changed my number early in the year, so it wasn't as bad.
Yeah.
But I still had a lot just because people gave out my number, but it's a good headache. So
yeah. What was like the best message? Who was it from? Like, who's the coolest person you have in your phone?
I mean, I gotta go with OBJ.
Yeah.
He was at the game. I mean, that was pretty special. But just to have somebody that has, you know, success and you know, got overlooked and then got his chance and he made the best of it. I feel like I'm the same way, and that's why I just feel like just him sending me a message was kind of like a good thing for me. So
did you know that Odell was going to be at the game before the game?
Yeah, I did. He texted me and he was like, man, can you give me some tickets? And I was like,
of course.
I was like, yeah, hey, I can do it. But I got my family coming, and he was like, all right, don't worry about it. I'll try to get out there still. And then I asked one of the people on our staff to be able to help him out.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to get there. And then when I ran off the court, I didn't expect him to be back there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there waiting. And I dapped him up. And that kind of got me a little bit motivated going into the game.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I saw, I don't know if it was you or Theo, someone like did the catch.
Oh, yeah. Then- I think it was B-Rob. He did the catch.
Okay.
And then started dancing. So,
yeah.
Yeah. But, it's just great to have him there and just have him supporting us. And he's gotten to know a couple of guys on our team, so it's all fun. So,
yeah, I'm always interested, like, why does he like Carolina? I actually interview him Monday. So, like, my first question is going to be, why are you a North Carolina Tar Heel fan?
Yeah, I don't know. He said he grew up a Tar Heel fan, but
yeah.
I don't know why. I shouldn't like him because I'm an Alabama fan.
Oh, you were crossing enemy lines.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I kind of, you know, went a little too far, but I mean, it's all good though.
Yeah. Now, you played football?
I did.
In middle school? And I like read for like a brief second you even thought about giving up basketball for football.
I did. I just feel like, I mean, basketball with AAU is so much going on. You got 3 games in one day, and I was just getting tired of it. And I just felt like football was something more for me. I'm a aggressive guy, so, I mean, being able to go out there, if you get mad at somebody, you know, you can knock somebody out. But, I mean, you really can't do that.
Wait, what position did you play?
I played safety and quarterback.
So okay.
I like defense better, but
seems like it if you're trying to hit people.
Exactly. So I just like to take my aggression out on people, but you really can't do that in basketball. But I mean, I think I made a good decision and to stick with basketball just because of, you know, the concussions and all that stuff.
So, yeah. By the way, you can't be an Alabama fan. Like, being an Alabama fan is such a cop-out. Like, you can't pick to be a fan of, like, the best team in college football.
I have a good reason, though.
Okay, what is it?
If you look at Nick Saban and you look at Coach Williams, they kind of resemble one another. Yeah. And just how, like, they care about their program and just how they care about their players. And I just see a resemblance there. So that's the reason why. I mean, I grew up a Carolina fan. Mm-hmm. And so I just feel like, you know, they got the same morals and values and when it comes down to coaching and how they coach. So that's my reason. That's what I tell everybody. He's telling me, you know, you're just jumping on the
bandwagon. Right, you're just trying to be with the winner. You're probably a Patriots fan, too. Oh, no. I'm just kidding. Okay, who's your NFL team, then? Do you say Giants because Odell?
No, I actually liked the Giants before Odell got there. And then, I mean, I didn't notice Odell until somebody on the wide receiving team got hurt. And then he got his chance and made that one-hand catch. And then that's when I, you know, started noticing him. But I was a New York Giants fan before because of Brandon Jacobs and Eli Manning. And it's just something about them just caught my eye. So,
yeah. You know, one thing you and Odell kind of have in common is, like, the hair thing.
I know. Somebody told me I should go ahead and do the blonde, but I can't do that. My mom would probably make me. Yeah, she would maybe cut my hair off. So.
One time I was interviewing Odell, and I said, you know, like, why do you think people have this, like, negative perception of you? He's like, because I got blonde hair. Yeah. He's like, it's because they think I'm, like, you know, this wacky, like, guy that just cares about his appearance and being pretty and all that stuff. Yeah. So I think that kind of comes with the blonde hair.
I guess so. I mean, if it's what he wants to do, I mean, he has the right to do it. It's his hair. It's his body. So
he's a super nice guy.
Yeah. He's very cool. Down to earth. He's just funny.
But honestly, you have the same haircut as, like, half of college basketball.
I know. I feel like mine's a little bit better just because.
Okay.
I mean, I got some softness to it. I feel like all the other guys, it's all dreaded up and like they get out of bed and just wave their hand through their head. But I get up, I wash my hair, I pick it out at night. So
what do you guys, you go to the barbershop, you want this hairstyle, you say you want the,
there's no name to it. I just tell them. I want a little fade on the side and the top, and that's
you don't
it.
Show like the entire like Duke roster.
No, not at all. I think all the guys on their team, they is a little bit nappy. Like you gotta at least take care of it.
Yeah.
But there's no name to it. You just tell them you want to fade on the side, and that's it. Yeah.
So I don't know how much late night TV you watch, like Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon, all those guys. But after the championship game, James Corden, he came on right after the championship game and talked about the teams and the guys. And one of the things he said was like, you know, it was great basketball on the court, but the only thing better than the basketball was the beards.
Oh, yeah.
And he started talking about your beard.
Yeah.
And he said your beard was like a Lenny Kravitz starter kit. He said that on national TV about
what
your beard. Do you know who Lenny Kravitz is?
Mm-mm.
Really?
I don't.
He's a singer. Do you know Zoe Kravitz?
I don't.
I think you'd like Zoe.
I don't know.
I'll show you Lenny. But another funny thing that he said, he was talking about Kennedy Meeks' beard.
Uh-huh.
And he said, Kennedy Meeks' beard is the style of chin straps, the only thing keeping my beard on. That was what he called Kennedy's beard.
Oh.
That's Lenny.
Okay.
So he said that you're on the way to the Lenny beard.
I guess so. I mean, I'll take it.
But, I mean, that's a compliment. Yeah. He was saying he didn't like Kennedy's beard as much.
Yeah.
But he did like yours.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of grew mine out. I wasn't going to cut it until we won. And that was that's what I was trying to do. Everybody else was like, you know, we got to go get a haircut and all that stuff. And I'm like, I'm not even worried about that. I'm just worried about playing ball and just doing what we have to do. So I just kind of grew it out. But I think the guy on the other team, his beard was kind of better than mine.
Yeah, so. Big guy. He's like European, I think. Yeah.
But he grew his out the whole season. I was cutting mine during the season. I think if I would have left mine, probably got long like James Harden.
James Harden with the beard. Okay, so you're thinking about, you know, growing out your hair before the game and everything. But how nervous were you that you weren't going to be able to play?
I was really nervous.
Yeah.
just because I like to play at 100%, and I just felt like I wasn't myself, and it made me nervous. But I mean, with the help of the medicine and then just all the rehab that I did, I kind of knew that, I mean, I wasn't going to play at 100%, but I could play at least 80 and just give it my all. So, Yeah.
Yeah, obviously there's all these tweets like, it's Kendall Marshall all over again.
I know. That was the whole story throughout the tournament, or ever since I twisted my ankle in the first game, in the first round.
Yeah.
And just the whole time. Just bugging me about my ankle, and it was getting a little bit annoying. But
right.
Yeah.
But you pulled it out. You're able to do it.
We pulled it out, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just thought about my teammates and the stuff that we had went through throughout the whole season. I mean, I'm not about to just sit out and just give up on them. I mean, it would be a difference if I broke my ankle and just couldn't play. But, I mean, it was just a rolled ankle. I did it in high school. Had the same thing where I had to play with it throughout the whole playoff. So, I mean, just did it for my teammate. So
yeah. And that's one thing I always kind of have a question about when I watch basketball, specifically college basketball, is like the mental aspect of it.
Because
like when I'm watching these games, these championship games, I would be nervous the whole time.
Right.
It's like you have to do everything right exactly. Or you feel like you're going to lose like the biggest game, which I'm sure you got a taste of last year. But it's just like there's so much... Like, there's a really big mental part of it. All the people watching you, like, having to make sure everything's right with your teammates. Like, how big is that? How much, like, of the mental part goes into the win?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot, especially with myself being the point guard. I mean, you just can't think about yourself. You have to think about your teammates and how you react with them and know that there's certain guys that you can get on. And certain guys that you kind of have to, like, let back a little bit and not get on them as much because you'll take them out of what they're doing. And so, like, for example, for Theo, one game he was just, I don't know what was going on with him. But one of my teammates came up to me and was like, tell Theo, you know, he needs to get going. And I know I can go up to Theo and say it in a way that, like, you need to come on. But, you know, if it's somebody else on our team that, you know, doesn't have, you know, the mental toughness, you know, there's different ways you have to approach it. So I just feel like all together, I mean, when it comes down to, you know, those games that we're in, you know, there's going to be stressful times. But, you know, we just had to stay together as a team. And I think we did a great job of doing that and staying mentally into the game and mentally into each other and not just, you know, worrying about what you're doing. So.
Is there one thing that, like, a teammate said to you or a coach said to you that kind of always sticks out when you think about that game?
No, not really. Not that I can think of. Hold on, what game are you talking about?
Championship game. Oh, the big championship one.
Oh, I think it was the five-minute mark, and coach, it was like a TV timeout or something, and coach just said, I think it was Coach Rob, said to us, we have to remember that feeling that we had last year when we lost, and that we don't want that feeling this year, so we need to get out on the court and start playing. And I think that's what kind of made us get into gear at the end of the game and just pull it out. And that will always stick with me forever just because I didn't want that same feeling, and I was able to change that. So, yeah.
So I have a question. It's a genuine question. What makes it so hard to make free throws in a big game? Because I watch these games and I'm like, it's a free throw. Like, obviously, I don't play, so it's easy to say that.
Exactly.
But I'm like, come on.
First of all, in that gym, it's hard to get the depth perception down from the big background. It's hard to, like, focus in on the rim because it's a clear glass so you can see through it.
Okay.
And, like, you're just looking at the background. And then, I mean, for myself, I mean, I usually don't miss free throws. But, of course, I got to blame it on the ankles just because I like to, I like to finish on my toes. And I just didn't have I just didn't have the push that I needed to be able to get up on my toes. So, but, I mean, it's just the pressure of, like, each free throw, no matter what, it's – I mean, it makes a big difference in the game. And, I don't know. As you saw in the Oregon game, I mean, the free throws that we needed, you know, didn't go in. But, I mean, we still got the rebound. But I just feel like just the pressure of each play being so important.
Yeah.
Is the biggest thing, yeah.
Because a free throw becomes like a make or break
right,
situation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's so wide open. Sometimes you just, you think about it a little bit too much and you end up missing. So even though, I mean, it's called a free throw, but
it ain't free.
It's not free at all.
Because that's yeah. one thing, like on Twitter, everyone was like, come on, y'all. These are free throws. Like make them exactly. easy
see,
points.
See, that's what I'm saying. I hate the people from the outside that never been in that situation before
yeah.
to say something, because you get in that situation to see if you can knock down a free throw and then come back and tell me how you feel.
Because you missed that first one, and that could have been
a
key point.
Yeah, you're talking about in the championship.
Yeah, in the championship, and it was like right down the stretch.
I missed the one, I think it was, the one towards the end of the game.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I missed it. I blame it because I had a tear in my eye, everything.
Because you knew it was coming.
Yeah,
you're like,
I knew we had the game, and that's why coach called the timeout before I shot my first one, because I was crying.
Mm-hmm.
And the ref came over there and asked me if I needed a timeout, and I told him, yeah, I need one.
I need this timeout.
Because, yeah, I mean, even though I still missed it because I was still crying, but at that time, I already knew we had the game, so.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing about free throws. I remember once I was talking to Elena Deladon, the women's basketball
uh-huh.
player. And, of course, she has, like, one of the highest free throw percentages ever, like,
right.
higher than Steve Nash. Like, she's great.
Yeah.
But she said it's because when she goes to the line, like, she does the exact same thing every single time, which then makes
mm-hmm.
it seem like every time you take the shot, you're doing the exact same thing,
right.
which sounds easy.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it isn't like that in reality.
It's not. Like, I do the same thing. I go up there and take three dribbles and then just look at the rim and it's just like... You do it so much, you think you're just going to knock it in every time. And then I feel like we kind of let back a little and relax, and then we just end up missing it. So I just feel like you do it so much to where sometimes you just get up there, and when you do your same routine, you just think you're going to make it. And then next thing you know, you miss it, and you're just sitting there like, dang.
Yeah.
I just missed the free throw.
But, I mean, at least for good reason. You're crying because you knew, like, this is coming.
Yeah, that's what I blame it on. I blame it on the
tears. It's the tears.
Yeah.
But so when you were crying, experiencing this emotions, like, what exactly were you thinking in that moment on the line?
I couldn't wait for the confetti to fall because I remember.
Which it took forever.
That's what the ball, Theo throws the ball up. Nate, all our teammates run out on the court.
Right.
We all hug each other. And then next thing you know, the confetti. I'm like, what took so long?
They ruined the moment. They
yeah.
really did. Because I was watching, like, this doesn't seem as, like, celebratory.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because last year, I remember as soon as that shot hit the rim, it was like, it's like they had a sensor on the rim that as soon as that ball went in. It's like I walked from the free throw line to the 3-point
line.
You
spin
and
confetti at your mouth.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I wanted the same thing this year, but
yeah.
I mean, it's all good, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, so you were able to go, obviously, from crying on the free throw line to celebrating. But that's one thing that I kind of get from you. Like, you can go from, like, super focused to super funny
mm-hmm.
to super serious.
I know.
Within, like, a second of each other.
Yeah.
Have you always been that way?
I've always been that way. And I don't know. I don't know what it is, but. That's just how I am. And I mean, I usually always keep a straight face during the game. Even when we're in a tough time, I just keep a straight face. And that's just because I'm always focused. But, I mean, it was just hard to kind of go from, you know, being serious to, like, well, I mean, it wasn't hard. Going from being serious to, like, having emotion after that during that game just because – I mean, it just all that we had went through, and we finally got what we came back for, and just all the criticism of, you know, people saying that we wouldn't get back to that point because
mm-hmm.
we lost two key players. Just all that emotion just came out of me, and I mean, I usually never cry, but I just had to just because.
And when you do, you miss a free throw, but it's okay.
Yeah, it's all good. But yeah, but I mean, I thought it was the time just to show emotion and.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a time and place for it. Usually I don't, but I mean, we accomplish what we accomplish.
That was more than worth it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You meditate, correct? You think I read that?
I do.
How often do you meditate?
I usually do it right before I go to bed. I just take 15 minutes and just close my eyes and I just just think about the things that I want to happen in my life, and I try to visualize it. And sometimes it's hard because your mind just starts wandering off the other stuff, like what you got to do the next day, what you have to, what you're doing at the time. But I've done it so much to where I've gotten good at just focusing on what I want to happen. And so before the games, I put my headphones on, and I just put on music, and then I turn my timer on for 15 minutes. And I just imagine, you know, myself hitting shots, guys on my team hitting shots, us playing defense as a whole. And then before the championship game, I just visualize us holding up the trophy and just seeing the confetti fall on us. And it was just so crazy because when it happened, that's what I had visualized.
Exactly what you saw.
Yeah.
So do you really believe in the power of like seeing something and like kind of seeing it into existence? Mm-hmm. That actually works for you?
Yep, it works for me. And when my dad first told me about it, you know, I didn't pay too much attention to it because you kind of get to a point where sometimes your parents tell you so much and you've been around them for so long to where that you just kind of let it go through one ear and out the other. But and then you hear from somebody else, and then it's like you pay attention. But I don't know. My dad told me about it. I was like, I don't know if it really going to work. Like, I'll try it, but I don't know if it's going to work. And then
just dad being a dad. Yeah.
Exactly. And so I started doing it my sophomore year. And I just tried to do it the whole year. And next thing you know, we end up winning the state championship. So That's when I started really believing in it. And I just stuck with that throughout the rest of high school and just throughout my years here at UNC.
So now that you know you have made it to a championship game, you have now won a championship game. Mm-hmm. What do you meditate and see now that you've accomplished those?
Just what I want to happen in my life, just going forward, and whatever that is, you know, whether it's the NBA, whether it's coming back next year and trying to do the same thing again. I just try to do that and just try to focus on those things. And I'll do, like, focusing on NBA. I'll probably do that, like, during one session. And then I'll just focus on coming back here and just trying to get back to that point again. So that's just what I've been doing. And it's hard just because, I mean, I accomplished something that I wanted to accomplish. And now, I mean, I'm not doing anything just resting, but my dad does a great job of just texting me and reminding me to meditate every night and just like I said on my arm, just keep believing.
Yeah.
So
you said you decided to start meditating your sophomore year, and mm-hmm. I mean, of course, your freshman season, you improved vastly to
right.
this point.
Yeah.
But it was a little like below expectations people saw from you as a freshman. Did mm-hmm. that play at all into why you said, you know what, this year I'm gonna take that time out to meditate and get to know myself as a person, as a player?
Yeah, I just felt like I just got away from being myself my freshman year. And you know, you have everything of coming in and being adjusting to being on your own. And you know, I had my dad there telling me to always do it, but I mean, I was here on my own. I like to play video games, so I was busy doing that and just really not focusing on what I wanted to happen for myself. And after my sophomore year, freshman year, I told myself I'll never get to a point to where I get to thinking, you know, it's basketball. It's I don't think it's for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just tried to change that, and that's why over the summer.
You had that thought freshman year?
Yeah, I had that thought. I mean, I was going back to my room crying, like telling my dad, like, I don't know if I should be here.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't want that to happen again. And that's when my dad told me, you know, you're too busy trying to blame it on the coaches, blame it on everybody on the outside instead of just, you know, what are you doing?
Yeah,
to,
hey, maybe it's me.
Yeah, exactly. And so my dad helped me with that, and from then on, that changed my whole perspective. And when I started getting in the gym and putting up all those shots throughout the summer, and then I came back my sophomore year, and, you know, the ball was going in for me,
mm-hmm.
then I was like, yeah, you know, maybe I need to stop trying to look at the outside sources and stuff and start, you know, paying attention to myself and am I doing the right thing to be able to do what I wanted to do? So, mm-hmm.
And now you have a championship.
Exactly.
Do you think that you learned more from the win or the loss?
I think I learned more from the loss. Just because, I mean, you can have something that you want and you can have it where it's right there, and it just goes to show how in life it can just be taken from you so fast, and that's why you always got to enjoy what you're doing, and then sometimes you just always got to give it the little extra push to be able to get what you want. And I know, I mean, we couldn't do anything about the shot going in, but we could have done something throughout the game to put ourselves in a better situation to win the game, to where it wasn't, you know, in their hands to win the game. So that's the biggest thing that I learned, is just enjoy it, because it could just be taken from you that fast.
And as someone who, when they were a freshman, you know, had thoughts of quitting, had thoughts of thinking maybe this wasn't for them, and you kind of see this era of college basketball now where 1 year goes bad for people and they're done.
Right. Exactly.
And they don't have that mental toughness to keep going. Mm-hmm. So for either people in high school or college kids that may be going through that, what would your advice be to them?
Yeah, just like I was saying, you just got to try to figure out what in life you want to do and how are you going to get to that point. And to be honest, you know, the world is just where everybody's, you know, for themselves. You know, you just have to realize that, and that's just how the world is. And no one's going to just give it to you. And you just have to go out there and just do what you have to do to be able to take it from that person and get their attention. And that's what I realized. I mean, it was things where I wanted the coaches to give it to me, but they couldn't give it to me because I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do to be able to for them to give it to me. So I wanted more playing time, but I wasn't playing well. So
right.
I had to start playing better. So if you just, you know, just start realizing the things that you want to happen and what it takes to be able to get to that point and what you have to do and not worry about what, you know, other people are doing, I think that's the biggest thing.
All right, Joel. So I always have people send in Twitter questions. Mm-hmm. So you have some for you. Think you're ready?
Mm-hmm.
Someone asked about your haircut. I let them know that I already discussed that thoroughly with you. It is to be determined, Asasia. Yeah. We do not know what we're calling the cut right now. We'll exactly. call it the Joel Berry at the moment. Mm-hmm. All right. Jacob Finney, I think is his name, says, what is your favorite show on Netflix?
I think I watched the whole Breaking Bad.
Yes, very good.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my favorite show.
Do you do any other like Netflix ones, like the Netflix originals?
That was it. I don't have that much time to
be binge watching.
Yeah. The only time I have is when I go home for like 3 weeks, and that's all I did was just watch Breaking Bad. So.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Biggest difference between this year's team and last year's team?
I think the biggest difference, I feel like we have some guys that weren't so involved with like just hanging out with the team.
Mm-hmm.
That got involved this year, and I think that was the biggest thing. I feel like this year we enjoyed the process, but I think when we got to the Final Four, I think we just had a different mindset this year. Mm-hmm. And like last year, we were just happy to be there, and this year we had a different mindset of just like just going and just winning at this time. So I think that's the biggest difference. But the personality wise, all that stuff, I mean, when you got me and Theo on the team, you know,
I hear y'all are the funniest characters.
Yeah, yeah, you got us on the team, it's always gonna be a lot of fun. So.
Who's funnier, you or Theo? I won't tell him.
I would say Theo, but it's some stuff that I ain't gonna put out there
that's
why he's funny, because it might hurt his heart.
Okay. We'll figure that out later.
Yeah.
Does it upset you if someone calls you junior instead of the second? Which I would have never thought about that.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, my dad told me he didn't name me junior because the juniors are like bad kids. So, I mean, I was bad when I was younger, and it's just because.
Oh my God.
They called him junior.
Uh huh.
And like. He was not that good.
You mean like junior just running around being bad?
Yeah. And so my dad he thought the second was better. And I mean, honestly, I think it looked better.
It does. The Roman numerals.
Yeah, the Roman numerals compared to just having that junior. So I mean, I like it. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I like it. Okay. Jennifer McNeil's very concerned, says, how are your ankles? How are your ankles?
Yeah, they're feeling better. Still giving me a little problem just because I haven't had any. I mean, I only had a week to rest.
Right, you have not rested.
Yeah, and I just didn't get a chance to rest when I did hurt them. So still giving me a little problems. But like I tell everybody, it's all worth it, though.
All right, so this person says, has future Hendrix hit you up after the championship? Or any celebs besides Odell, though? Obviously, we talked about that.
No celebrities have hit me up. I wish, but I feel like Future, I don't know if he watched sports like that. I mean, I know he probably watched NBA, but I just thought he would be more involved. I mean, he made a March Madness song, which is
right
what college basketball is all about. So I wish he would have.
So that's a clap. Like, that's an anthem.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's just like, whenever you think about March Madness now, you think about that song and you think about college basketball.
So. Right. All right, Christina Gray wants to know if you'll marry her. What else do we have? Hey, this is a good one. Being from a football-rich state, did you play at all? Yes, he did. And who else would we know from your high school? Any other big names out of there?
I went to a private school, which was not known for sports, so we really didn't have any big time names come out of there. I know it's one guy, like long time ago, but I forget his name. But he was I think he was an offensive tackle in the NFL, played for the Ravens, I think. Mm-hmm. But I don't know his name, but that's the only big time athlete that we had come out of there. But it was more of a lacrosse soccer school, not necessarily football, basketball. So.
You think if you stuck with it, you could have, like, maybe made the league?
Yeah, I think I could.
Good. I'm like, you can never say no to that. You always have to say yes. If I worked hard enough, I could have done it.
Right. Yeah, I think I could have made it playing safety. So
I like it. Well, Joel, you were a pleasure.
I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for coming on.
No problem.
I bugged Kendall about it for like a week. So shout out Kendall and shout out Hoots.
Yeah, appreciate it.
No, thank you so much. Wishing you the best. Rooting for you always.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Joel Berry, ladies and gentlemen, a really big moment for me in that interview was to hear him say that freshman year he would go back and cry because he felt like he didn't belong on the North Carolina basketball team. But he decided to look in the mirror. I mean, that applies heavily to college athletes around the nation, but it really just applies to people. Everyday people, making sure that you change to improve your circumstances instead of solely blaming your circumstances on your faults. I mean, I also may start meditating, huh? We all got to give it a try. Joel has a big decision coming up on whether to stay in Chapel Hill or leave for the league, but after seeing how aware and thoughtful he is about himself and just life, I am more than positive that whatever decision he makes will be the right one. So thank you for listening. Like, subscribe, leave a review, please. I'm Taylor Rooks. I'll talk to you the next time out.